just wanted to ask how you came to work with Paka in the first place. Is it because you were interested in building renovation and things like that that you started working with Paka, or it's the other way around?
No, yeah, I had been doing things like that. I did salvaging myself for many years, on my own. I worked on old houses on my own. I even tried to save houses, talk people into, you know, don't do this thing to it, you know, fix it, and let me fix it, and things like that. So I was already doing things like that a long time ago. I came to Paka some time ago because I was actually recruited to be on the board of directors by someone. He knew me vaguely, and he knew that I did that sort of thing, and he's like, you're the kind of person we need on this board. So I said yes, and I joined the board. And then from then on, I was just involved in one way or the other. But it was just a natural sort of relationship formed from an interest, shared interest, and passion, I guess you could call it that.
I see. So you had been like an unofficial one-person Paka yourself.
Yeah.
And just, I guess, your path is merged with the official organization that was Paka. I see. So people that walk into Paka store to buy things, looking for things, do you think they have sort of more propensity to be interested in DIY, or it just sort of just a general customer in Champaign-Urbana tends to be more interested in doing things DIY? I guess I ask that question because in Japan, those kind of recycle, reuse stores are less common. I mean, there are secondhand, as I said, furniture, appliance stores, but not a whole lot of places sell junky things, if you will. And, you know, it's not that people, general customer, is really interested in figuring out what to do with things, or, you know, they have sort of motivations to work on the things, DIY stuff out of those. So just, I guess last time we were talking with last week's guest too, that sort of came up. The U.S. is probably, you know, the average person in the U.S. is probably more inclined to DIY things than sort of general shoppers in Japan, and if so, why that be? What sort of a cultural background are there? That kind of things came up last week, and we were interested in that. And not sure how much generalization we can make, but it's kind of true that we don't really see. We probably see less DIY shops, and even much less sort of places that sell secondhand building materials. So, yeah, we're sort of trying to think what that reason might be, and came up to that.
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons, probably. To my mind, one of the bigger ones is that there is a culture of DIY in the U.S., which stems from a few different things. One, I think, would be that we're a relatively young country, and so we're not that far away from the days when people were kind of heading out on their own and carving out a space in the wilderness, so to speak. And so in those days when you're just like, okay, I'm going to go settle on some land, I'm going to turn it into a farm, and I'm going to build a house and live there. That's my future. That's my job prospect, basically. You had to be able to do pretty much everything yourself, you know, make your own clothes, build your own house, all those things. And all of that is not that distant in our past. It's only a couple hundred years ago that this stuff was going on. So that's still sort of a part of what makes people feel, what would be the word? Competent, I guess, to be fully competent as an adult male in this culture is to be somebody who can do stuff. If something breaks, I can fix it. If I want to put a deck on the back of my house, I can build it. You know, this notion that I have those skills, it's sort of like I have survival skills, and therefore I am a responsible, respectable human being or something like that. It wasn't that long ago that women were expected to be able to sew and cook and make things from scratch. But interestingly, that's kind of died off in the cultures that celebrate traditional notions of masculinity and femininity, I guess I could put it that way. The notion that women had to be able to sew and play music and raise children and cook has diminished a bit, whereas the notion that men had to be able to build things and fix things hasn't changed that much. And I suspect, I mean, that could go on to long rambling bits of guesswork as to why that might be the case. But I'll just leave it that I think that that is the case. That is my impression. That traditional masculinity requires men to have skills, DIY kinds of skills. And so that's why you see all these big box stores, for example. They're making a lot of money on people buying tools and buying bits and pieces of things to fix things for themselves, not to hire somebody to do it, but to go out, I need a new light switch. My light switch is broken. Well, I'm a man. I can do that. That's not so hard. I'll go down to the hardware store and buy a light switch and come home and maybe burn the house down. But I'm, darn it, I'm gonna do this because I should be able to do that. I know that for myself, for example, my parents lived through the Depression. Mm. And the Depression being the post-1929 stock market crash when everybody was out of work and everybody was struggling. And so I grew up being taught you save everything that could be useful. You fix things when they're broken. Mm. You have to know how to make stuff work because these are important survival skills for you, and they will be in your life. I know lots of people that were not raised that way and don't have those skills, but that's how I was raised. And so I just naturally, I learned all these things, even though I didn't want to at the time, it seemed silly to me, but I learned them. And then later in life, when a situation arose where I needed to do something, I started finding that, yeah, I actually knew how to do stuff. And I had been taught this stuff against my will, maybe, but I was taught it. And later on, I was glad to know it. And so I've done a lot of that myself over the years. So those are a couple of reasons that I think that DIY is kind of still a thing here. The post-war, going back to that again, period, was a time when traditional masculinity was very, very highly thought of. Mm-hmm. You know, the common man was the thing. So, you know, if you think back to U.S. history, I don't know how much you know about it, but in the 20s and 30s, we were edging towards a more intellectual, artsy sort of notion of masculinity. The male stars of that period were, you know, like Fred Astaire or something like that. You know, they were suave, they were sophisticated, they could dance, they were intellectual. And then World War II came along, and suddenly it was like, turn back the pages, the big, hulking, masculine guy was the hero, you know, that saved the world. And so that, starting in the 50s, late 40s, early 50s, moving onwards and slowly dying down, but that has been, for a long time, the, you know, the ideal man in U.S. mythology. So because of that, I think a lot of those older notions of survival skills just kind of tagged along. And so now every man feels like they have to have their workshop with their tools in there, whether they use them or not, is not important. But they've got to have, you know, I've got an impact drill, sure. Yeah, I've never used it, but it's in my workshop. And it's ready if I ever need to drill a hole in concrete, I can do it because I've got an impact drill. Why? I don't know, because how often do you have to drill a hole in concrete? But hey, if I need to, I do. And mm-hmm. So that's my notion anyway.
Yeah, no, last week we talked, I said, like, I have seen in the U.S. like the advertisement on Father's Day. Lots of advertisement comes up from, you know, Home Depot and places like that, power tools. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And it's usually for, you know, Father's Day, not, or Christmas maybe, but it's gift for dad and stuff like that.
Sure.
So it's, and yeah, so they won't, and they will have it, whether or not they will actually use it or not, but it's sort of, I mean, if you have a house in the suburbs, you have a tool shed, tool box that mm-hmm. you can fix your own things. Sort of my impression.
はい、この部分もなかなかアメリカについてのいろんなことが言及されて面白い。かと思うんですが、トムさん自身がパカに関わるようになったのはもともと DIY カルチャーが自分の中にもあって、まあ、いろいろ関心があってパカに通うようになってちょっと役職しないかみたいな話を受けたということで関わったということですが、ここで、リュータさんが聞いて、くださっているのはこの DIY カルチャーが日本よりもアメリカの方がこう盛んに見えるけど、その背景は何かということ、そういう質問から始まったですかね。
そうですね。これはレンさんと話した時もなんかちょっと出てきた話だったので聞いてみた感じでもあるんですけど、
うん、
そうですね、なんでまだパカに来る人とかをはじめとして、まあ、割と DIY やる傾向にあるんじゃないかっていうところから、そのなんでアメリカの方が DIY やる人が多いかなっていうことをトムさんに聞いてます。で、トムさんの説明としては、一つはそのアメリカっていうのはまだ若い国で、その全てのものを一から作らなきゃいけなかった、時が、男の人も女の人も全てのものを一から作らなかったないといけなかった時っていうのが、割と近い時代にあるので、
うん、
一人前の大人っていうのはそういう自分の手で直せる、作れる、直せるものなんだみたいな考えがあるんじゃないかっていうのと、あと、まあ、もちろんジェンダー化された側面っていうのもあって、その特にその第二次世界大戦後とかですかね、とかになると、そのなんていうか、そういう強いマスキュリニティ、男性性っていうのが復活してきて、一時期はその都会的な男性っていうのがアメリカの男性性の象徴だった時があったけど、やっぱりそのなんていうか、ちょっと 強い力強いイメージの、あの壊れたら直せるぜみたいな感じの、
うん、
男性性っていうのが復活してきて、それがまだ残ってるんじゃないかみたいな話で、まあ、やっぱりその郊外の家とかに住んでてもその工具持ってるとか工具小屋を持ってるみたいなのがこうちょっとした、まあ、大人の男であることの象徴みたいになってるみたいなことです
ね。家族の中でもそうだし、社会の中でも頼れるガイみたいな、そういうあのなんかこう力強い男性像っていうのがかつてあったし、未だにもまだあるだろうということで、で龍太さんがあのアメリカで結構父の日とかにあの結構いろんなツールを、何道具を送る、そういう、
まあそうですね、コマーシャルとしてはそのパワーツール電動工具とかの宣伝とか結構あるよねっていう話ですね、
うんうん、今でもそうなのかな。だけどまあパカに来る人たちは、まあ、今は男性も女性もいるけどということをあの来週またトーク続きますけども、先週のあの放送配信を聞いて、あのいつの間にかあのリスナーの人がいつの間にか日本の方が使い捨て文化になっちゃったんだねみたいな、そういうふうなこう感想をあのいただいたりもしたんですけど、これ世代にもよりますよね。トムさんはご両親がこう結構不況時代とか戦争とかの時代を体験しているので、子どもの頃からあの お父さんにいろいろこうあの家のこと修理の仕方とか教えてもらったり、お母さんがに裁縫も教えてもらったって言ってましたね。
うん、
だからなんかジェンダー化されてるかな、あの性別分業みたいなのがはっきりしてるのかなと思ったけど、トムさんの場合はミシンの使い方も あんまりしなかったけど、編み物とかも母を料理とか母に教えてもらって、で父にはそういう、こういろんな道具の使い方を教えてもらったって言ってたんで、世代の影響とかもあるだろうし、今はまたそれが DIY カルチャーとして若い世代は少し違う形で関心を持つ人が増えているのかなとか思ったりしますよね。あのそういうことも含めて、じゃあその世代でのこうあのいろんな知識とか情報とかスキルとかどういうふうにこう教え合ったりとか、そういう仕組みがあるのかなということも含めて、来週のあのトークでもう少し続きの話を聞いてみたいと思います。